Hallelujah. From you to him. Amen. Hallelujah. To change the focus from you to him. Thank you, Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He was talking about his death on the cross. Amen. Not just be lifted up like all we lift up the name of Jesus. But he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. Aren't you thankful that he's in the business of drawing? He's in the business of wooing. He's in the business of touching. He's in the business of convicting. He's in the business of convincing. Hallelujah. Said he came to convict and convince of righteousness. Hallelujah. How many are glad you're righteous this morning? Hallelujah. Not in your own strength, not in your own ability, but he that knew no sin became sin. Why? That I could become the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. So how many of you are glad you're righteous in here this morning? Hallelujah. You might say, well, Pastor Lisa, I don't feel like I got it all together, or maybe I didn't have the best of weeks, or, you know, we start putting the focus, what, back on ourselves. Hallelujah. And myself, I might not have had it all together, but I'm glad Jesus does. Hallelujah. Because he said, when I am weak, he is strong. Hallelujah. When I'm at my weakest, he may just be at his strongest. Hallelujah. So thank the Lord for the strength of God in us, that when I'm weak, I still have his strength. I still have his joy. I still have hope. I still have peace. Amen. Anybody got any hope in here today? Hallelujah. You know, we go into this season of celebration, and you may come at it in all different directions. Maybe you love it. Maybe you love to hate it. I don't know. But how many know that, you know, we focus a whole lot of stuff on, I was thinking this morning, you know, sometimes we focus on a whole lot of stuff. It makes us crazy. And after all, you really figure out it's just stuff, right? And we make big things out of things that aren't big things. And, you know, I told you a couple weeks ago, Pastor B said, nothing's a big deal unless you make it a big deal. Hallelujah. And so we learn to put our focus on him, learn to put our trust in him, and learn what's important in life. Amen? Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful for his presence this morning. I'm thankful for all of you who are here today. Hallelujah. Thankful for a time of celebration for our church family to come together and have dinner together, and a time of fellowship and time of refreshing and rejoicing together. I'm thankful for the presence of the Lord in the house. I'm thankful for a place to come and gather. Amen. Where we can come and be refreshed. And Sister Wilda and I were talking this morning how much we enjoy coming together and being just in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And what an incentive is to get up and get moving. She said, you know, it's my incentive to get up and get moving. Sometimes you just need an incentive to get up and get moving. Hallelujah. Because if not, you get heart trouble and dropsy. You drop down and then you just don't have the heart to get back up. Yeah, and I get that every now and then, that heart trouble and dropsy. It sneaks up on me. And hallelujah. That is an old saying. I bet you know where I got that too. That came from the book of Shirley. I don't know what chapter and verse, but she probably got it from the book of Francis. Amen. Yeah, hallelujah. Solomon wasn't the only one who wrote Proverbs, right? Words to live by. Those are words to live by. Hallelujah. So every now and then I get heart trouble and dropsy, and I got to get up out of there. Hallelujah. Well, we started a sermon. I always start out with a sermon. It develops into a series. I don't always mean it to go that way, but the Lord knows what he's doing. And I was really torn this morning as to what direction you go, but I feel like to go with the direction that I started last Sunday. And so Christmas series sermons are coming up. You don't want to miss them, so be here, okay? Hallelujah. We're going to do a series on some song titles, and you'll get that. Probably next Sunday will be Silent Night. So hope to see you here again and you can catch that. But last Sunday, if you remember, we talked about We saw the scripture that he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. I think that we can live the abundant life right here and right now. Amen. How many are ready for an abundant life right here and right now? I'm all for the sweet by and by. Amen. And that's great and that's wonderful. But I want to live in the abundance of what God has for me right here and right now. And I want God to take every hindrance, every roadblock out of my path that deters me or detains me from walking in and stepping into everything that God has in store for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, order my steps. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you in here this morning are glad that you're righteous? So the steps of the righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Amen. And so we talked about the scripture and the widow of Nain. But before we get there, I'm going to just read a couple verses and then I'm going to jump back over there. But out of 1 Corinthians 5 and 53, and I apologize for no overhead. So I hope you brought your Bible or your device with you today. And actually, it's not up there just because we have a scenery. It's not up there because the bulb went out, I guess. 'Tis the season. Hallelujah. So if anybody knows anything about bulbs and projectors, see me after church. Bless you, Jesus. How many know Jesus preached without overheads, microphones, and a worship team? He still healed the sick, cleansed the leper, raised the dead, and cast out devils. So I think we'll be all right today. Amen. Hallelujah. We can still do it. But in 1 Corinthians 15 and 53, it says, "For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory, and where, O death, is your sting?" The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory. Everybody say victory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Hallelujah. Now, we talked last week about the scripture where Jesus titled this the sermon, Three Funerals and a Wedding. You've heard of the movie Three Weddings and a Funeral. Well, I switched that up a little bit. So we're going to talk about three funerals and a wedding. Hallelujah. How many know Jesus is a game changer? Yes. Hallelujah. When he steps into a situation, what seemed like the norm, what seemed like the end result was already set, Jesus is a game changer. Amen. Hallelujah. When he walked up to the blind didn't stay blind. When he went to the lepers were healed. When life bumped into death, death had to back up. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Lord really has resonated in that in my spirit in the last week and even in the last little while. But how many know, I told you before, when I preach something, the Lord just, somehow that shows up in my week. And the Lord has me live by what I preach. You know how that works? Like the Lord makes you live what you preach. And it comes back to me. So I'm going to start preaching on peace, life, prosperity. I'm going to preach on all those things. Because if that's the way it's working, I want it coming back. All right? Hallelujah. But let me know. It seems like you don't even get started in your week. And all these things start to happen. But the Lord brought that to my heart this week as I was ministering to people who are looking at death. Amen. And in the face of death and in the face of struggle, sometimes you're looking for words and you're fighting for words. But as I sat there and prayed, I just kept saying, "Death, you got to back up. Death, you got to back up." Hallelujah. But I love the scripture that how many know those, even those who die in the Lord, I don't believe have to die with the sting or defeat of death. The scripture tells us there is no death, there is no victory in death, there is no sting in death for those who die in the Lord. Hallelujah. Because sin is the sting of death, and sin came by the law. And how many are thankful this morning that we don't live under the law anymore, but we live under the perfect law of liberty and life in Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So even the saints who pass on from this life into a greater life, how many know, can be celebrated in a victory, because we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. So in that I say, death, you back up. You have no victory here. You have no sting here. Hallelujah. Because those who die in the Lord, I believe, are encompassed about with a great host of witnesses about us. Amen. And so we talked about the scripture last week that Jesus bankrupted death. When he would run into death, death would have to back up. And when he ran into the widow of Nain, he stopped the pallbearers and said to them, young man, get up. Yeah. Hallelujah. Young man, get up. And he restored him back to his mother. Yeah. Hallelujah. He bankrupts death, and death has to back up. And I told you before that what they did a lot of times in those days is they hired mourners. After someone would pass away or somebody would die, they would hire mourners to come and play the flute and to wail and to mourn with them. Hallelujah. Let me just tell you right up front, okay? I'm going to put this on notice. If I pass away and I'm not looking for it, don't you come and hire mourners for me. You hire some worshipers to come if you got to hire them. I hope I don't have to hire any worshipers, but I hope there's some worshipers in the house that can say, she fought a good fight. She kept the faith. She finished her course. Yeah. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes we got to put death on notice. Yeah. Fire the mourners. Fire the naysayers. Fire the voice of negativity in our life and say, you got to back up, because the saints of God are resonating with a worship and a sound that brings life. Hallelujah. Jason told a story the other Wednesday, and I don't know how many of you were here the night that we were at conference and Scotty Todd was preaching and went down at the altar, had a heart attack while he was preaching. And we called 911, called the ambulance, because for all intents and purposes, Scotty Todd was dead when he hit the ground. Jason said that God had given him a vision before it ever happened that it was going to happen. And he said when it played out, he said, God had already told me. He said, when it happens, I want you to go to the platform and I want you to worship. And Scotty said he heard the sound of Jason's worship. And that is what brought him out of that situation that he was in. He got back up off the floor. Hallelujah. And God restored him back. I mean, there's power in praise. There's power in worship. There's power in obedience. Hallelujah. And sometimes we can stand by and as observer, but there's times where we just stand back and just begin to praise God, even in the midst of situations. I mean, no, we said just a week or so ago, in everything, give thanks. I'm not thankful for everything. But even in the midst of crisis, even in the midst of tragedy, there's things that we can be thankful for. Yeah. Amen. As we begin to focus on the grace of God, the mercy of God, that even in tragedy, God can lift us up out of that place. Hallelujah. If ever you want to surround yourself with someone, don't surround yourself with the mourners. Surround yourself with the praisers and the worshipers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm going to go to John chapter 11 today. And I'm going to start at verse 1. It's a lot of reading there, but we're going to read through that. Now a certain St. John chapter 11 verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the light, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. How many know Thomas has got the same kind of mentality as the hired mourners at Nain? Well, if he's dead, let us just go and die with him. Hallelujah. How many know if someone is dealing with death in their life, and I'm not talking about just natural death, how many know they don't need you to come die with them? They need you to come and speak life over them. They need you to come and speak something into their life. Give them a word of encouragement. Give them a word of hope. Give them something that can bring them out of death. How many are thankful in here that God brought you out of death into life? Because there's a death. Death can be active and ruling in our bodies. And there can be things operating in us that are not allowing us to live the abundant life that God desired for us. Amen. Hallelujah. So Thomas says, well, then if he's dying, let's go die with him. No, Thomas, if he's dying, let's go take him life. Amen. And so it says, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Said Jesus intentionally delayed 4 days because they waited in that time for 3 days just in case they hadn't passed. But on the fourth day, it was pretty much settled. Jesus waited to the fourth day. And now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come down where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, John chapter 11, the shortest scripture in the Bible, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, Loose him. Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Jesus gets word that Lazarus is sick. And the scripture says that he delays for 4 days. And then he tells them Lazarus is asleep. And they said, well, Lord, if he's asleep, that's a good thing. And he says to them, Lazarus is dead. But for your sakes, we're going to the town and we're going to make a visitation. And the scripture says when he goes in the town, there's the mourning, and Mary and Martha and them came to Jesus and said, Lord, if you would have just been here, my brother would not have died. Hallelujah. Have you ever made that statement to the Lord in your prayer or in your life? Lord, if you had been here, Lord, where are you? Lord, have you forgotten me? Are you working on my behalf? Probably we've all been in that situation. Said, Lord, I need you. I need to see a demonstration of your presence. I need to see your power. Hallelujah. When the angel came to Gideon, and he said to him, Hail thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with thee. And Gideon's response back to him was, well, thank you, it's nice to meet you too. That wasn't Gideon's response back to the angel. His response was, if the Lord is with us, where be all of his miracles? Hallelujah. Somebody say, Jesus is a game changer. Hallelujah. And so what the angel began to declare to Gideon is, you're looking for a temporary fix, but I'm about to use you, Gideon, to be the miracle that you're looking for. How many know right inside of you may be a miracle wrapped up waiting to happen? Hallelujah. Where be all of his miracles? And the angel begins to say, I'm going to send you, Gideon, and I'm going to deliver the Midianites into your hand, but I'm not going to do it by the strength of armies. I'm not going to do it by Scud missiles. I'm not going to do it the way you think I need to do it. But when it's done, you're going to know that God has been in the midst of the camp. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so there's, you know, when Jesus was on the, when the disciples were on the boat and a great storm arose, and they were tossed about in the storm. The disciples' response to Jesus was, they go down and wake him up and say, Lord, don't you care that we perish? Don't you care that we perish? They didn't wake him up and say, hey, Lord, we need you to calm the sea. Hey, Lord, did you know there's a storm going on? Their response was, which I think we so many times as people, our response to the Lord is we start to question and say, Lord, don't you care that we perish? And I believe the response from Jesus is, you may question my sleep. You may question how I run the boat. You may question if I'm in charge of the sea, if I created the heavens and the earth, but you don't ever have to question if I care. Hallelujah. You don't ever have to question if I care. Jesus is a game changer. What seems like death, that God can step even in the middle of tragic situations and bring life and bring hope. Aren't you thankful for that? Hallelujah. I told this story before here, but there was a time that we had a neighbor who lived near us, and we were good friends with the neighbor, but we didn't know the children. And she had kind of gave word to Dan and said, you know, that the son was sick and she might need me to come and pray or do something. And anyway, I was a situation where I was out and about for the day, and I was going to go shopping. I was going to go to Winchester, and I changed my course, and I just felt like I needed to go home. I changed my mind, and I went home, which had to be God, because I was going to go shopping, and I went home instead. Hallelujah. Dan was praying and interceding that I would go home. That's what it was. And so So that was my plan for the day, and I just decided to go home. I didn't go. And when I got home, I had barely stepped into my house, and my phone rang, and it was the neighbors crying and said, "Our son, hospice is here. Our son is dying. We don't think he's going to make it. Will you come?" And I just said, "Okay, I'll be there." And you know, that's one of those moments where you don't get to go look up the scriptures. You don't get to pack your caretaker bag and your preacher bag and go down with all the right words and all the things that you go and you trust the Holy Spirit. I had all of about a fourth of a mile to pray, "Holy Spirit, you're going to have to help me. I need you. I need the Holy Spirit to stand up in this house today because I don't know what I'm walking into." It was a situation where the young man was dying and it was in very much pain. When I got out of my car and started down the sidewalk, I could hear him crying out in pain. My knees buckled a little bit. I said, "Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you." And I walked down the sidewalk and I walked into the room where the young man was laying and the family was crying and the hospice was there. And I walked and I didn't even know his name. I never met him. I walked up to him and I just started to pray with him. And I just prayed in the Holy Spirit. And as I did, he started to calm. And I leaned down and I talked in his ears and I said, "I want you to know that God forgives you, that there's forgiveness through Jesus. Would you like to accept Jesus as your personal Savior? He forgives you of your sins. And it's just as simple as receiving him, accepting Jesus." And I said, "He washes your sins away and he gives us hope of heaven." And just a simple prayer. And he did that with me. He acknowledged what he wanted to pray. And I prayed and I just said, "Holy Spirit, comfort him. Holy Spirit, bring peace. Holy Spirit." You know, there's sometimes you can't do nothing but just pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. I prayed with him. And it was a matter of moments that young man passed. And he passed away. And so I ministered to the family and did all the things that I need to do. And his sister pulled me aside and she said, "What you said to him gave him hope. Because in his moments of passing, what tormented him was his past and didn't know if God would forgive him. And he had come to all of us and had repented and said he was sorry, but he just didn't know if Jesus would forgive him of his sins. But when you told him that he was forgiven and that God had removed his sins, the peace of God came in that room, gave him peace, and he passed from death unto life." Now, I got to tell you, it's one of those moments I had no control over anything that happened in that room. But it was one of those moments where I said, "God, this is a Holy Ghost moment. This is a Kairos moment. This is a God moment." And how faithful you are that even when we are facing death, that there is hope, there is life, and there is peace. And who knows that as I stood in a hospital room this weekend praying with a family who's struggling, I said, "You know, who knows but that there's not a host of heaven encamped around about this bed, and the host of heaven is ready for escort." I said, "Because those who die in the faith just transition from death into life." Hallelujah. But I believe we can feel the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our life everywhere, every moment, through whatever we pass through. Amen. Through that, whatever we walk through, the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. But Martha and Mary said to Jesus, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus said to them, "You're going to see the glory of God. And you're going to see resurrection." They said, "I know at the last day there's a resurrection." He looked at her and he said, "Mary, I am resurrection and I am life." I want you to know, if you sit in here under the sound of my voice this morning and you are a believer, you have resurrection life inside of you right here and right now. Hallelujah. Resurrection life inside of you right here, right now, because that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and it quickens and makes alive your mortal body. Hallelujah. That we don't have to walk in death. But we can look death in the face and say, "You just back up, because you have no victory in this situation." Hallelujah. Because the saints of God have resurrection life in them. Hallelujah. I love in this scripture that it says that Jesus wept. I love that it says Jesus wept. Now, I could go around the room and ask you why you think Jesus wept? Was it because he loved Lazarus so much? Was it because of the unbelief of Mary and Martha? Was it because he just didn't like death? Or was it because he's like, Lazarus, you know what? Sorry about this, but I'm going to bring you back because I got a little bit more in store for you. Hallelujah. We don't know the reason why all that Jesus wept, but here's what I do know, that we have a high priest who is touched. The scripture says, Hebrews says, he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, that he cares about what we care about. He cares about what we weep about. He cares whatever touches us, touches him, and he cares. Hallelujah. Master, don't you care that we perish? Yeah, guys, I care. Peace. Peace, be still. And he began to speak peace into situations. How many know the message from the heavens? When Jesus was being born, the first thing that he came to the shepherds and said to them, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. I want you to know that the message from the heavens today is peace on earth, goodwill towards men. I don't believe that's changed. I don't believe that goes out of style. I don't believe that's a dated word. I believe we can have peace right here and right now. Amen? Probably one of the things, if people could buy it, peace would be about number one on the list. Peace with themselves, peace with each other, peace with our world, peace with God. Hallelujah. How many believe you can be at peace with God? Hallelujah. I don't live a schizophrenic life, Christian life anymore. Can I say it like that? Because sometimes I think we live like the daisy flower. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. I pulled off a good day today, so he loves me, but I blew it tomorrow, so he loves me not. And we live in this mindset that he loves me. He loves me not. Can I just tell you, he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. There is no he loves me not. Hallelujah, that we can have peace and security in our salvation and our relationship with the Lord. We don't have to walk in and out of that peace. Hallelujah. And so they take him to the grave. He said, show me where you've laid him. Hallelujah. And when he walks up to the grave, he says, scripture says he cries out with a loud voice and he uses his name, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. Because I don't know about you, had he not called out Lazarus' name, it's hard to tell how many gravestones had rolled away. It's hard to tell what kind of rattling and shaking might have happened. It's hard to tell who might have got some resurrection life in them. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And the scripture says that Lazarus came out of the grave. And then he said to them, you loose him and you let him go. How many know it's not enough just to receive life if you don't take off the grave clothes? I'm going to say that again. It's not enough just to receive life if you don't take off the grave clothes. If everything has kept you wrapped up, bound up, tied up, entrapped, if you don't loose those things and allow resurrection life to work from inside out of you and bust you out of everything that's got you wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up, you're going to come out dead man walking. That's probably another sermon. I think there's a movie on that, isn't there? Dead man walking. But how many know it's not enough just to have resurrection life if you don't allow it to bust you out of everything that wraps you up? How many know there's some things in my life that I've had to walk away from? There's some things in my life I've had to give up. There's some connections I've had to sever. There's some habits that I've had to quit. There's some things I've had to walk away from. Why? Not because I was afraid of hell, but I wanted to live the abundant life. I wanted to live life right here, right now. Hallelujah. I want God to teach me how to eat. I want God to teach me how to live. I want God to teach me how to handle finances. I want God to teach me how to be a good wife, a good mom, a good nana, a good pastor. I want God to have to teach me the things. I want resurrection life to work from inside out of me into every area of my life. Hallelujah. And I believe we're on a mission, Sister Robin. We've been on a mission and commissioned to loose them and let them go. Unwrap them. Take the napkin off of their face. Unwind them. Take off the things that have bound them up. Tell them, you know what? There's resurrection life available to you. There is hope in Jesus. There's salvation in Jesus. There's healing in Jesus. Jesus is a game changer. Hallelujah. He's a game changer. But somebody might have to tell him that. Somebody might. He said, you loose him. You wrapped him up. You loose him and let him go. Hallelujah. If we're not careful, we'll do more wrapping people up than we do letting them go and releasing them and setting them free. How many know what that's what religion does? Religion will wrap you up and bound you up, but resurrection life will set you free. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes you got to get busy taking off some grave clothes in the natural, in the spiritual. Hallelujah. I mean, there's things that Jesus has had to open my eyes to. He's had to unwrap my head sometimes. He's had to open my eyes, give me vision, talk in my ear, use my voice, my hands, my feet. But how many know he cannot do that if I'm bound up with death? If I'm bound up, wrapped up, and tangled up in everything else. But buddy, when resurrection life, when Jesus begins to say, Lisa, come forth. Hallelujah. Jenny, come forth. Wilda, come forth. How many know there's resurrection life? And it works from the inside out. Hallelujah. I told you. Jesus bankrupts death. It has no victory over us. And I'm not just talking about natural death. I believe probably that spiritual death and living in death while you're living is probably just as toxic. Amen? Day after day, submitting to death in your life instead of the life inside of you. The power of Jesus Christ. How many know we have the Holy Spirit inside of us? Moving in him, the scripture says, in him I live and move and have my being. What gets me in the most trouble is when I live out of my own natural stinking thinking, my own heart and my own desires. Hallelujah. And I got to change my focus sometimes. I got to change my conversation. I'll say things and I'll say, I take that back. I told you, Dan and I were talking about something the other day, and we were just kidding around about a vehicle or something like that, and he said, yeah, right. I said, hey, you don't know my Jesus. You just don't know my Jesus. You just don't know how much he loves me. Hallelujah. But we sometimes confess things over ourselves. I said last week, you know, we make statements out of our mouth, and it ain't true. I went to bed last night, and I died. No, you did not. But we confess those things. Yeah. That's out of that book of Shirley too, probably, right? I don't know where we got that at. But we confess things over ourselves. This is going to kill me before it's over. No, it's not. Not unless you let it. It's going to be the death of me. We say stuff like that. That's not true. Crazy in a bed bug. Now, that one might be true. I don't know. Hallelujah. But how many know when we take our focus off of what's true inside of us, the deposit of resurrection life in us, our view and our visage becomes marred of what God wants to do. And here's what I believe he wants to do. I believe he wants to take the grave clothes off. He wants to start unwrapping every part of your being, every part of your life. Let me just tell you this, the part of you right now that's stressing, wherever your mind's been for the last 10 minutes, where your treasure is where your heart will be also. Where your heart is where your mind's going to be also. Hallelujah. So wherever your mind's been for the last 10 minutes, the thing you're worrying about, you're stressing about, God wants to unloose that. God wants to unwrap that. The stress you're dealing with, we're too blessed to be stressed. Hallelujah. The crisis, the worry that we're dealing with, we got to give it to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, because he that hath begun a good work in you. Can anybody say he's begun a good work in me? And he is able to finish it, to complete what he's working in me. Your story's not over. It's not over till it's over. He's a game changer. Hallelujah. But, you know, we have to release. We have to hear the voice. How many know when he said Lazarus' ears were open, he heard a voice, and he responded to that voice. And when he responded to that voice, resurrection life came. Hallelujah. Lord, make my ears sensitive to your voice, that when you speak, I respond, and resurrection life begins to work out of me, and death has got to go from my being. Hallelujah. Death has got to go from my being. That was funeral number two. I said three funerals and a wedding. Third funeral, Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house. There's a little 12-year-old girl who's dying. And they send for him and said, Master, can you come? But he gets delayed by a woman who's got issues. You know, this is a sermon that'll preach all by itself, but I'm going to jump right through it. There's a woman that has issues. How many know the woman? The church has had issues, and what we've done is delayed and detained the master. Why, he should have been speaking life. He's been dealing with issues. But if we ever get past the issues and find out there's a generation dying, waiting on the woman to stand up and say, you are loosed from the spirit of infirmity. Be thou made whole. My virtue has flowed through you. The flow of my blood is way more powerful than the flow of your blood. Be made whole. Hallelujah. And so when Jesus gets past the issues and he gets to the house of Jairus, they send word and said, don't trouble the master because it's too late. Hallelujah. You're too much trouble for the master. I mean, sometimes we know that God can, we just don't know if God will. Hallelujah. And I don't know if I'm worthy for him to come to my house. The centurion said, I'm not even worthy for you to come to my house, but I understand authority. So if you'll send the word, he said, I say to one, go, and they go. And I say to another, come, and they come. I understand authority. If you'll speak the word, my servant will be made whole. He said, I haven't seen such faith as this. Hallelujah. And when he came to the house of Jairus, they said, it's too late. Hallelujah. But Jairus didn't stop. Hallelujah. Because I want to tell you, when it comes to my baby girl, ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough. It's going to keep me away from getting a hold of Jesus every which way I can. And when he come into the house, he said, she's not dead, she's just asleep. And the mourners in the house, the scripture said, began to laugh and taunt, hallelujah, them. How many know you got to fire some mourners? You got to fire some naysayers. And the scripture said they went into the room and they shut the door. How many of sometimes you got to shut the door? You got to leave the unbelievers outside. You got to believe the spectators outside. You got to look for everybody who's expecting you to fail outside. You got to look for everybody said that you're not going to mount to nothing. You leave them outside. Everybody said you'll never make it. You're not smart enough. You're not tall enough. You're not rich enough to make it. Shut the door. And so they went into the door and he said to her, maiden, arise. And when she stood up, he walked her out. Hallelujah. Jesus is a game changer. How many of you know the story changes when resurrection life bumps into death? And when it does, death has got to back up. I want to tell you, if death is operating in your life this morning, you have resurrection life in you. Hallelujah. Allow his voice to bust open everything that's kept you tied up, wrapped up, or bound. And maybe it's not you. Maybe it's not you. Maybe it's somebody you know. Maybe it's somebody you love. When Jesus wept, they said, oh, how he loves Lazarus. Oh, how he loved Lazarus. It might be somebody you love that you just need to start saying, death, you just back up. I'm declaring life over my house. I'm declaring health over my house. I'm declaring prosperity over my house. I'm declaring healing over my struggles, over my situation, over sickness, whatever it is. Hallelujah. That we got to start looking for life and quit walking in death. Amen. Hallelujah. And he goes to the wedding of Cana of Galilee. And they run out of wine, which would never happen at a wedding in a custom of that time. I'm cutting through this. Third funeral and a wedding. Here we go. He's at the wedding. They said they're out of wine. Jesus' mother said, go get Jesus. Go get Jesus. When crisis comes in your life, here's what you do. You go get Jesus. When the wine is running out. How many know the wine a lot of times speaks of the anointing of the Holy Spirit? When you're not feeling it like you need to be feeling it, you need to go find Jesus. You need to hook up with somebody who knows Jesus. And his mother said, whatever he tells you, do it. Jesus said, it's not even my time yet. She said, whatever he tells you, just do it. I love that. How many know mama was still in charge? Whatever he says, you do it. Jesus said, go get their water pots. They had 6 water pots. They were used to purify themselves, to cleanse themselves. It was the bath water. Can I just say it like that? He said, go get the water pots. He said, now I want you to fill them up to the brim. Yeah. Hallelujah. They filled them up to the brim. Now dip out of it and go take it to the governor of the feast and give him a drink. Now my question to you is, was it red wine or white? Because when it still looks like bathwater, I don't know if I got the faith to do it. And take it to the governor of the feast and tell him, here is your glass of wine, because that man just dipped it out of the bathwater. But how many know what Jesus is simplifying there? Every attempt you make to wash yourself is not going to get it. It's not going to get her done. And I'm about to replace that old system of cleansing and washing and accountability with the anointing and the oil of my presence and my spirit. It's about to be filled with the Holy Ghost, because I'm not going to fill old wineskins with new wine. I'm about to bring new wine into new wineskins. It's a new day. It's a new covenant. Hallelujah. And he began to fill those vessels with a new wine, and he took it to the governor of the feast, and he said, man, this is backwards. I love it when Jesus does things backwards. Everybody else saves the good wine, gives the good wine at the beginning, then when everybody's drunk at the end, they don't care what they drink. That's paraphrased. Hallelujah. But that's what he says. But you have saved the best what? Till last. How many know that you're living in the best to the last days? He has saved the best to the last. He's replaced our attempts at cleansing or washing ourselves, and he has made us every whit whole and has replaced that system of accountability. And now today I stand here with resurrection life inside of me, not just in a pot, not just in a vessel, but resurrection life inside of me that works from the inside out to bust me open from everything that's ever wrapped me up, tied me up, or kept me bound from walking in resurrection life. Hallelujah. Somebody say, Jesus is a game changer. Hallelujah. 3 funerals and a wedding, and he got her done. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand with me this morning.
Down the anointing of God. It's taking its power from it. But I'm telling you today that God's power resurrects that anointing and brings it back to life so that people can know and feel and hear and see and know that God is real, and that God's got all power, and that he can do whatever he wants to do. And there ain't anybody can stop him.
Nobody can stop him. Hallelujah. If you've been hanging out with the mourners, you might need to hire another crew. Hallelujah. You might have to change who you've been hanging out with. You might have to find yourself some worshipers. Amen. You might have to find somebody who's got some resurrection life in you. Because when the need calls, you got to depend on what's already in there. You got to depend on resurrection life. You got to know that you know that you know. Hallelujah. And let God do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. Hallelujah. Is Beth singing something this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you're in here this morning and you don't have resurrection life, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, it truly is as simple as saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins and receive me. Because He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Hallelujah. If you would want to come forward this morning, we would love to rejoice with you and celebrate new life with you and resurrection life. Hallelujah. If you just need a stirring of the resurrection life inside of you, you say, Pastor Lisa, I need to feel some stirring. I need to hear His voice calling me forth out of this grave and out of these grave clothes. Just raise your hand or you can come forward. We'd be glad to pray with you. Whatever it is you need this morning, whatever it is you need to receive this morning, lift your hands all over this place and just receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we just declare life to every situation, Lord. Hallelujah. Help us to hear Your voice, Lord, and let resurrection life bust from the inside out. That removes grave clothes, that removes the napkins from our head that marks our vision. Hallelujah, or obscures our vision, Lord, to see what You would have us to see. Hallelujah, to know what You would have us to know, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, we celebrate over this house today. God, I send word out to families, to children. Lord, for children who are wrapped up and tied up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, the anointing breaks the yoke in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The anointing breaks the yoke in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every